You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
This is the Dom Salvia Show, but this is not Dom Salvia. Dom's on vacation here for a little bit, so I will be with you. I'm Matt Rothschild, formerly at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and the Progressive Magazine, and I will be your host for the two-hour show today and tomorrow. Really looking forward to these next couple days. Looking forward also to working with the great Jess P.S. in the booth, who's just a wonderful producer of the Dom Salvia Show and a huge part of this show. So it's great to be with you, Jess. We're going to have some fun.
Good to be here.
I see that. Let me just give a rundown of the show today. We've got Heather Dubois-Bernain, the executive director and founder of Wisconsin Public Education Network. And we're going to have Lisa Lucas, the deputy director of All In Wisconsin at 4:30. And then Angela Lang, who's my usual guest co-host, joining me at 5. And we'll be talking about a whole range of things. Always willing and happy to take your call at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC, calls and texts at that line. And I see that Heather has joined us. Heather, how are you?
Good. How are you, Matt? Nice to see you.
Yeah, it's great to see you. I'm doing fine. There's always a lot going on, isn't there?
So much right now.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy. How do you handle the craziness?
Just by pouring myself into whatever productive work I can find. There are so many battles to pick right now. So you could make a full-time job out of just deciding which ones to pick. So keeping our heads down and trying to help other people focus on what Wisconsin kids really need is a good distraction, believe it or not, from all of the chaos around us. And fortunately, we saw a lot of this coming and have been prepared for a while to refuse to take the bait and do what we got to do to make sure that we get through this with as little damage as possible to our students in their public schools.
And I think you're right to say, you know, pick one issue or two. Join one organization or two. Do it with a friend or two friends. It's easier that way. But get involved, because there's nothing more disillusioning and disempowering than just sitting down in front of the cable news networks or skimming the news on your computer and just feeling just depressed and wiped out. That, you know, that's not going to get it done. So that's why your network is so important. It's been way important even before Trump came along, but it's even more important right now, the Wisconsin Public Education Network. And I see right now, this week, you're in the midst of Public Schools Week. So I didn't even know that was a thing. Tell me about that.
It's a thing, Matt. Come celebrate with us. No, at Wisconsin Public Education Network, we've actually been celebrating a version of this for the whole 10 years that I've been at the organization. And by the way, I'm not the founder. I'm a total foundling. I mean, I found my people through this network, and I invite anyone who's listening and who's captured by any of the things that we're mad about over here to come find your people in us too, that we've got folks all over the state who are just frustrated with a status quo that's letting kids down in one way over another, and state leaders who refuse to do their job and all the things. And one of the things that we were frustrated about was how it always feels like we're playing defense. There's always some attack, some threat, some, you know, kind of behind the scenes wheeling and dealing that's like pitting us against each other. And we thought, we don't even have time to prove all the ways our schools are actually not failing our kids, but thriving in spite of all of this. And taking time to celebrate that is something that we often skip. And so we started doing something that we called I Love My Public Schools Week, over 10 years ago. And we always did it during Valentine's Day week. And then meanwhile, kind of simultaneously, a national movement started up, and they put their own Public Schools Week at the end of February. And so we just tagged into that and started borrowing their toolkits and templates too. And now there's nationwide celebration of all of the ways that our public schools are meeting the needs of our communities. And it's just a chance to kind of reflect on why it is we do the work we do and all of the cool things that are going on every day in every single public school in this state.
And what are you urging people to do during this week as part of the celebration?
Well, just naming that, you know, just taking some time to think about that and recenter yourself in your own why. You know, why do you care about this so much? Like, what is at stake here for you? Why'd you get involved in this work? You know, who motivated you to do that? And then tell that story. You know, almost everybody who thinks about that remembers a moment or a teacher or a day or another student or somebody who touched you through your school experience and something that kind of centers or grounds you in the reasons that you think our public schools are so important to individuals, to relationships, and to how it is that we build community, how we build democracy with each other. So we celebrate that, we tell our stories. And then the other thing we like to do is put our appreciation into action. What are you going to do about it? If public schools are worth fighting for, how are we going to fight for them? How can we stand up together? And I spent much of today finalizing a toolkit that gives people some pretty easy ways to do that. I've got 5 ways that you can stand up for public schools up on our blog right now. And I'm going to drop that link into our chat too, so you can share it out with folks.
Neat. And you also have a cool little video, 5-minute video of a grown-up student who and his teacher in, I think it was from Lafarge, Wisconsin. This guy became a chef, and he has his teacher who saw something in him when he was just in 7th or 8th grade, and now he's like 40 years old or something. But it's a terrific little video.
Yeah, some people might remember Luke Zahm. He was he's the host of Wisconsin Foodie on PBS, and he was on, what's that show, when Top Chef was in Wisconsin. He was on there, so you might recognize his face. We actually met Luke when he testified last time around at a state budget hearing. And I was out in the hall at the time because we had a table there. We were greeting people and kind of, you know, checking in with other public school champions at the event. And my phone started blowing up. This guy's testifying. You aren't going to believe his testimony. He's so good. He's like, he owns a restaurant or something. And so I chased him down afterwards and asked him if he'd share his public school story with us. And that's what he did. He was reunited with a teacher he hadn't seen in 30 years. And he remembered details like what songs she played in class. That's how deeply she touched him. And those are the kind of stories that we want to tell during Public Schools Week, because those are the moments that remind us why this fight is worth fighting, and why, as hard as it is and as necessary as it might be to have to microdose on all the chaos right now and take breaks from it, our kids are really counting on us to be there so that they can celebrate those good stories one day too.
I think the song was Simon and Garfunkel, Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Thyme. So for a student,
yeah, no, now he's a chef.
Later becomes a chef. It was kind of a cool coincidence. Yeah, it was a really good story.
And hats off, by the way, to Micah Davis and Steve Betchkal, who did that video series for us. We have 5 videos in that series. We call it Public Schools Unite Us, where we matched up educators with their former students to share their stories. And they're all just as touching as that one.
And I think anyone listening has a teacher or an advisor who had a great impact on their lives. So this is a good week to salute those folks on social media. You also have a day of action scheduled for Friday. Tell me about that, Heather.
Yeah, we're closing out Public Schools Week with a day of action. And on our day of action, we're going to take this fight a little bit harder to the Capitol. And what we want to do is remind folks that there's a reason that 178 school districts had to go to referenda last year. And there's a reason that 86 more are going in April and 5 went this year, because the state is not meeting its obligation to its children. We're entering our 16th year this year of state budgets that failed even to keep pace with inflation from the prior year. So we're just woefully underfunded to the tune of about $3,380 per kid, when you adjust for inflation during that time. And folks are taking it to the ballot box. So we've invited people from these referenda teams from all over the state to come share their stories. We've got other people too who are going to share their stories about the needs of kids with disabilities, how we can help protect immigrant students and their families, and what we can do together to really make sure that we are standing up for the schools our kids deserve. So join us. It's from noon to one at the in the Capitol Rotunda. Everyone is welcome. And if you can't be there, follow along. You can find us on social media, on Facebook, WisconsinNetwork.org, or you can follow along on Wisconsin Eye, because I think they'll be there to cover the event as well.
Good luck with that event. I'll try to get there myself. You know, you mentioned the referendums. Like 3/4 of those referendums passed, even though it's a tax increase, property tax increase for people. People understand overwhelmingly that we need to fund our public schools. And yet in the Capitol here in Madison, that message hasn't gotten through sufficiently. Why is that?
Because there is no political will to do the right thing in the state house right now. And we have seen this budget after budget after budget after budget. And it's time to break the toxic cycle. There is absolutely no excuse for not listening to voters, for not listening to the hundreds of people who come speak out at the budget hearings year after year, and for not listening to the communities, blue and red and purple and everything in between, who have been telling the state enough is enough. We can't afford to do this. And it's very disequalizing. Every time we have to fund our schools this way, when one referenda passes and another referenda fails, our gaps just get wider. And so a system that has was already unfair to begin with becomes even increasingly so when we fund in this really unethical way. And so people are just saying enough is enough. And we need to call on every single state leader to do better and to vote for a budget that will really meet the needs of our kids. And one way that we want them to do that is by increasing the special education reimbursement rate, get us out from, you know, under the stranglehold of being worst in the nation in that category, and give public schools the same 90% reimbursement rate that they currently give to kids who go to a private school on a voucher. Let's close that funding gap and see what happens. It would be transformational for every kid in the state.
Heather, can you hang on and do one more short segment before the end of the half hour?
Yeah, sure.
I'd like to talk a little bit more about the Evers budget and then maybe stuff in Washington, if we got time. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. My guest for this half hour is Heather DuBois-Bernain, who is the executive director, not the founder, but the executive director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. And we'll be right back.
Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. While you're at it, leave the light that on inside the birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. While you're at it, leave the nightlight on inside the birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in here for Dom, who's on vacation. And I'm delighted to have with me to the end of this half hour, Heather DuBois-Bernain. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network and one of the best activists in the state of Wisconsin. Thanks for hanging on with me, Heather, here.
Thanks. My key to success is that I've been mad for as long as I can remember, and I'm not going to stop doing what we need to do until I'm not mad anymore.
You know, it's a good impulse to seize on that anger and funnel it into political activism. And when I used to, write op-eds, and give clinics on how to write op-eds, my first piece of advice was seize the anger you have and write about what you're angry about. and take.
I think
some
I went to that workshop, Matt. I actually think I did. I've got that note somewhere. It was very validating for me.
I think I gave that to about two generations of activists in Wisconsin. But it's a good idea to funnel that anger in a positive way. And for op-ed writing, you can take the anger out when you're done a little bit. You can tone it down so you're not screaming at people. But I wanted to, as I mentioned before the break, just mention Evers' budget, what you make of this current budget. I know you were highly critical of the one that he signed last time around.
Well, the one that he signed last time around bore zero resemblance to the one he presented last time. So let's hope we don't find ourselves in that situation again. The budget that's on the table right now is pretty strong. I mean, I don't think it gets us to funding adequacy for public schools, but it certainly is a heck of a lot better than what we've got right now. It does some things the last budgets certainly didn't do, such as restore the state's commitment to special education by lifting the reimbursement rate to 60%. Yes, that's lower than the minimum of 90% we were asking for, but it's double what we have now, with the worst in the nation reimbursement rate of 29%, which is just shameful. Billions of dollars every year are transferred from general funds to cover those unreimbursed costs. It's just unconscionable. It gives districts new spending power by restoring what we often call the Tommy Thompson standard, where, you know, every year you get at least an inflationary increase to how much you are allowed to spend. But the state still paralyzes districts with what they call revenue caps, which are really spending caps, which are unfair and don't have anything to do with how much students need in given districts. So there's some really good things in that budget that respond directly to what we know kids need: mental health supports, support for educators and for rural districts, lifting the low revenue limit ceiling, which is desperately needed too. So a lot of good things in there. And let's hope that we can have some honest conversations about why we need all those things in the budget hearings and in our communities as we move forward. Folks can follow along at wisconsinnetwork.org/budget for our budget headquarters, where we're going to provide information on every single opportunity democracy affords you to raise your own voice in this process, to tell your story, to amplify it where you live, and to really connect with people, including decision makers, about, you know, why, what local kids need and why you think they should do better in the next budget cycle.
So there'll be these hearings around the state on the budget, and your organization, Wisconsin Network, Public Education Network, wisconsinnetwork.org, does a great job of turning people out to those hearings. That's an opportunity for you, the listener, to get your voice heard right in front of the elected officials. They can't hide from you at these budget hearings. Tell them how you feel. You know, be polite, but be strong. Tell them exactly how you feel and what you need, what you think the public schools need. Free meals was in, the governor's budget. We need that. I mean, there was no expansion of the voucher program, if I read it right. I know Republicans are going to want to get that, and he gave way too much of that last time around. But try to hold his feet to the fire, too, the governor's feet to the fire, so he doesn't compromise too much. Those are some of the things
we need to be a
do.
Critical friend to everybody in the law, in the legislature on this. That's super important. And then after you do that, that's step one. And then step two is amplify it. Do your testimony and then share it out. Put it on your socials. Send it out as an email. Send it to all the lawmakers, not just the ones who are on that powerful joint finance committee. And make sure that other people know that you spoke up and are standing up. And the more we can kind of make a snowball out of all of these concerns, the more likely we are to be heard and the more likely we are to see some real change. Because it's been a long time coming, and we're sick and tired of asking for the same thing and getting nothing.
Well, I bet you are. One last topic is the school superintendent race. Do you want to talk about that and what's at stake there?
Well, everything's at stake with all the things on our spring ballots, but that is certainly a top consideration for people who care about strong public schools. We need to elect somebody who is going to center student needs and think about how we can hold the line on privatization and hold all of our schools accountable to meeting the actual needs of kids and not the political whims of partisans at the state house. And so people have a lot of work to do in making sure that they do their homework and identifying those two candidates. candidates and seeing where they stand on the issues that matter to them. We're hoping to do a candidate forum very soon. The League of Women Voters and the NAACP of Wisconsin are co-hosting that with us. So stay tuned for details on that as soon as we can get a date confirmed with the candidates.
Do you want to just talk about who the two candidates are briefly?
Yeah, well, the state superintendent, Dr. Jill Underlie, was successful in getting on the ballot again. So she will be seeking another term, and she's being opposed by Brittany Kinzer, who is a former employee of City Forward Collective, which is a pro-charter lobbying organization in Milwaukee. And she was a privatization lobbyist for them. As far as I know, that was her most recent occupation before she decided to seek this office.
So you cannot have a bigger contrast, or it's a huge contrast in any event, between someone who advocates for public schools and someone who advocates for privatization and voucher schools. So that's a really important item that's going to be on the April 1st ballot, along with the state Supreme Court race. So it's really crucial for people to turn out and vote. April 1st, you can vote the 2 weeks prior. You can vote by absentee, as I do. Make sure you turn out and vote on those two big races, Wisconsin Supreme Court, and also a school superintendent, and on any of the referendums that are there.
Right. Heather Dubois, 86 of them.
Yeah, she's the executive director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network, wisconsinnetwork.org. Thanks for being my guest. Heather, it's great to see you and talk with you.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great to see you too, Matt. Have a great day.
You too, and we'll be right back with the Dom Salvia Show. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. I'm Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for Dom, who's on vacation. I'll be with you for the rest of the day up to 6 o'clock today, and I'll be with you from 4 to 6 tomorrow. So thanks for listening. Happy to be joined right now by Lisa Lucas, an old friend of mine who's the deputy director of a tremendous group called All In Wisconsin. Lisa Lucas, welcome to the Dom Salvia Show.
Thanks for having me, Matt. It's nice to be chatting with you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And you, the listener, can call in or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. So tell our listeners what All In Wisconsin is all about.
Yeah, All In Wisconsin is a communications organization. We work with grassroots organizations all over the state to help them build communication strategies and narratives that center their communities, disrupt dog whistles, and provide a narrative foundation to help them win on their issues, and so that we can all have freedom, safety, justice, and joy.
And who could object to all that? It's so important, this work, because to my mind, liberals, progressives, Democrats, people who want more justice and equality in America have been losing the messaging game for so long. It's been a frustration of my entire life since I was in progressive media and in progressive activism at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign after that. Just how, first of all, underfunded we are by the big foundations and the big liberal Hollywood folks. I mean, those folks have been asleep at the wheel forever. And then just the kind of tactical or strategic messaging mistakes that some of us have fallen prey to too many times. So why do you think there's been this messaging failure?
Well, I think a couple of reasons. One is that some folks are very comfortable in the status quo, or what was the status quo for a while, and messaging the way they did kept them there. The other, I think, is just that messaging gets used as a way to provide PR instead of shift policy change, which is what the intention of good messaging really is. And so you can't really have good messaging until you have really good policy. And it starts there, I think.
So part of the problem is policy. Part of the problem is how to articulate that policy. And you guys are great at the articulation part too, and I'm sure you're great on the policy angle as well, if push came to shove. But I want to talk about the articulation, the messaging part, because one of the things you're famous for, at least in my book, is this adage, don't bring a fact to a values fight. Do you want to explain that one?
Sure. I think it's a tendency that we have as progressives to believe the best in people and to think if only they had the right information, they would be on our side. If we could only educate, if we could only get people to understand this fact, they would be on our side. But the truth is, if facts won people over, we would all be out of work. We would have won all of these things a very, very long time ago. And so the unfortunate reality that's backed up by cognitive research is that people are not moved by facts. They're swayed by values and the way things are framed. I mean, communication is just, it's every single way that humans exchange information with each other, right? And facts are certainly a very important part of that. And we don't want to get away from knowing what the facts are, especially in this age of disinformation and misinformation. But you don't win people over by digging into the weeds of a policy. You win people over by telling them what the final result of that policy is going to do for them and their families.
So how do you connect with those values that are resonating with people and their families?
Well, we have so much in common with each other that I think you just have to start there, right? It starts with what do we all love about the community that we live in? What do we want to share together? How do we want to connect together? And the wonderful thing about the way that our society is shaped is that we all do have these pillars of society that we can use, whether it's a consumer or a member of a faith institution or a parent of a school or a sports fan or anything like that, where we all have some sort of social or political or economic power that we can use to kind of shift power dynamics through talking to each other and aligning with each other on what we ultimately want, which really is the same thing, right? We all want the freedom to be ourselves. We all want our families to feel joy. We all want to feel economically secure and not be worried that one trip to the doctor is going to bankrupt us. And we all want to be able to envision a future where our kids and our grandkids are happy and healthy and whole.
So part of it is painting that positive vision, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then not getting in the weeds, as you say, on the fact side. That's why sometimes, you know, I used to go around the state giving talks to a lot of progressive groups, and there'd be bumper stickers like "Facts Matter," and I see it sometimes on people's car, "Facts Matter." And after listening to you over the years, I just kind of look at that bumper sticker and kind of scratch my head, because maybe that's not the winning way to go. I mean, facts are important, but, you know, in this age of alternative facts, we're not connecting with people as much as we can. And that's why the work that you do and Dr. Cass Bowers does over there, she's the director, executive director at All In Wisconsin, so yeah. Important. You know, I heard a corollary to your don't bring a fact to a values fight the other day, which was don't bring a lectern to a social media fight. I don't know if you've heard that one before or seen it, but I think it was aimed at minority leader Schumer or someone who, you know, just gets up at a lectern and gives a boring speech with a microphone in front of him and has no social media presence. So I kind of like that little twist as well. Who do you think is doing good communication work among our elected officials, either here in Wisconsin or nationally, on the progressive side?
You know, I think in Wisconsin right now, there's a lot of reps that are doing a really good job of not taking rage bait that Republicans are giving them. I think Francesca Hong is doing really well. I think Christian Phelps is killing it up there. And so there's definitely a seed of how to talk about these things and how to give people hope. And I think that's the other really important part of it, is like, you cannot lead any of these conversations with just what we hate and what's wrong and what we're afraid of, because people right now already want to crawl under the table and ignore it all. And so if we start there, we kind of end up having to coax them out from under the table, instead of starting with what we want to achieve and the values that we have, if and how we can do it together. And that kind of gets them away from the table in the first place. And then federally, I mean, I haven't been super impressed with anything that I've seen. I think AOC is doing as solid of a job as she can do. I forget the name of the rep in Colorado who brought her newborn to be able to vote on the cuts. I thought that was a really powerful visual. But ultimately, it feels like the most power that is happening right now is not happening from any legislators or any elected officials, but is really happening with people who are moving in solidarity with each other to take action in ways that we haven't seen in a really long time.
Yeah, I'm sensing the rise of activism locally, too, and it's really kind of exhilarating.
Yeah.
You mentioned rage bait. Let's talk a little bit more about that. That's part of something that you wrote on your group's website, allinwi.org, about how to fight back against the authoritarians that have taken over our country right now. You say don't fall for rage bait. Outrage-driven posts, even if accurate, often serve to exhaust and distract. And you also say, whatever you do, don't repeat the propaganda you're trying to debunk. Do you want to talk about that?
Right. Well, the rage bait, I think we've all fallen victim to it, unfortunately. I think we've all had moments where we just get caught up in winning an argument with some stranger on Facebook. And, you know, their entire purpose is to waste our time. That's it. Like, they, if we are fighting with somebody on Facebook who is not arguing in good faith with us, we're not taking that time to call our own legislators or to have conversations with our family and friends, right? So it's just a waste of time. And then the other part is not repeating the things that the opposition is saying, because we know that they're lying and they also know that they're lying. The reason that they lie is to outrage us, because if we are outraged, we want to correct them, because we're so good at correcting people with the facts. So we end up trying to correct people with facts. What we're really doing is just giving their falsehoods free publicity, free airtime. We're sharing their quotes. And so what happens on a cognitive level is people do not remember if the thing that we shared was true or false. They just remember that it exists. And it existing in your brain is enough for them to consider it true.
So perversely, we're reinforcing the right-wing message.
Yeah, we reinforce it. And when we do things like share it on social media, if we share it directly from a rage post page, then we're also giving them engagement, clicks, which gives them a stronger algorithm that reaches more people. So if I say, if you have to share something, if you want to like talk about how absurd it is or how silly it is, screenshot it, put a picture of the screenshot on your post, and then say the thing that you want to say, but don't share and give them free clicks.
I'm speaking with Lisa Lucas, who's the deputy director of All In Wisconsin, who's a real expert on communication and has studied what works and what doesn't work. And you have do's and don'ts on your website, too, which are really helpful for people. So I would recommend that folks go to allinwi.org and look at what Lisa and Dr. Cass Bowers have to offer there, just as a way to figure out how do we communicate best with people. And also, Lisa, you mentioned, you know your audience. Don't waste your time on people you're not going to be able to convince. I fall for that sometimes because I have crazy ideas that I'm going to even convince CJ here, who calls in on the Civic Media Radio Network and is a right winger. Not a horrible human being. I've had lunch with him, but pretty much just repeats the party line on Fox. And I don't think even in my most deluded state, I'm going to be able to convince him to change his mind. But look, there were one third of the voting public didn't turn out at this last election. So we not only need to try to convince some of those Trump voters, we got to really convince the folks who didn't come out and vote at all. That's what we, I think we probably hit more mileage there, especially people we know. I mean, that's the important thing, talking to people you know, your friends, family members. You know, people are getting information all over the place. And if we can counter that information in a smart way, which is what you do every day, Lisa, at All In Wisconsin, then we might have a chance here of rescuing our democracy from the fires that are burning all over it right now. And you also have things on your website, just from a human level, how to keep going. I think those are important to share as well, and not to get too discouraged. So what's your advice there, Lisa?
Yeah, I think the most important thing to remember when we are living through an authoritarian regime is that we know what we can leverage with them, because the one thing that is always true is that they're weaker than they appear, and they are relying on ordinary people to be passive. And what that ends up looking like is that we become isolated, right? So connecting with each other, as simple as it seems, really is so very important for people right now. So getting into community with folks, if you have somebody that you've been meaning to reach out for coffee or lunch, go do that. You know, if you have a book club that you've been meaning to start, go start it. What do you need to be with your people is a really, really important part of this.
And we'll pick up on that. If you can just hang on for the next 10 minutes, we'll follow up on that conversation and maybe talk about the Brewers, because you have a funny podcast, fun podcast with the Brewers. And I'm talking with Lisa Lucas of All In Wisconsin on the Dom Salvia Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Back on the Dom Salvia Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for Dom, who's on vacation. I'll be with you tomorrow afternoon as well. And I'm joined by Lisa Lucas, who is the deputy director at the great group All In Wisconsin. Really, they have the best advice on messaging and communications in the state. You're listening, of course, to the Civic Media Radio Network. The number to call is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You get the 855. It's 855. Just remember the other 752-4842. And on the line, we have Joe from Madison. Joe, what's on your mind?
This is a fascinating discussion. I'll definitely check out your website. It sounds really valuable. I just wanted to add a few more points in and just get your reaction to it. One of the things you said that struck me was you said, don't repeat their lines. You know, don't basically give them another platform. Republicans who are saying something that you know to be wrong, why repeat it? But it strikes me that we also sort of need to think about how we craft our messages in terms of being the most punchy that we can have. And it strikes me that brevity is really important, humor is really important, and the almost the kind of give people a catchphrase. Mark Pocan was on Stephanie Miller in the last week or so, and he was talking about the bill he set forward that looks at Elon Musk and his nefarious deeds. And the bill, as he specified it, he could have gone into long legalese, but instead it was, he said, look, if you're a federal employee, you can't get federal contracts. If you're getting federal contracts, you can't be a federal employee. Now, I think that Elon Musk has tried to amend that situation, but at the time, there was a very clear way to me of stating what the problem is. And in terms of humor, I was really impressed with, and I'm sorry, I should have looked it up before I called, but there was a town called Lancaster, it may be out in PA, I'm not sure, but at any rate, one of their representatives refused to come to a town hall, just bagged on the town hall. So the people basically created their own outside in
in a public area where they had about 200 people, and they had somebody dress up in an inflatable chicken outfit, and that was supposed to represent the representative. And then there were 10 questions that they asked the chicken, and every time the chicken was the chicken's turn to talk, they just did the little chicken brock, you know, because I thought it was, you know, the optics of that and the fact that it does state you are so weeny that you can't even take questions from your understandably irate audience. It's part of your job, you know, to do that. So I thought the optics of that were good. I thought the humor was good. And I'd be curious to hear what you think about those ideas of just being as brief, if you will, about a statement. So because people don't remember that much. Their lives are really filled with a lot of stuff, and it's unreasonable to expect that they're going to remember every detail, every fact. So I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say, Lisa. Thanks a lot. I'll definitely look up your group. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Joe, for the call. Go ahead, Lisa.
Thanks, Joe. I think that point about humor is so right. One of the things that we know that authoritarians hate is being mocked and being made fun of. And so the more we can use humor to deflect from their harm, the better. I'm thinking particularly of, I don't know what it was, it was a while ago, there was a neo-Nazi rally that was being organized, and they were yelling white power, and a bunch of people got dressed up as clowns and joined them and shouted white flower and just threw flour in the air all over them. And the group was humiliated and ended up calling off their rally before it was supposed to finish. And it was really funny. And so I think that humor is absolutely a part to play. And then the brevity part, absolutely true too. I don't think we need long-winded speeches every time we're trying to counter something. I do think it's important to not ignore what the opposition is saying though. What I recommend doing is to not repeat what they are saying, but to just point out why they are saying it and what their intention is behind it. So instead of saying, this person said this and it's not true because of this, instead say this person tells lies to try to make our communities distrust each other because he doesn't want us to notice that he's sneaking into our back pockets and giving tax cuts to his friends. Mm-hmm. Right. So pointing out the motivation behind why people are putting all of this bait out there instead of repeating the bait is really important.
And it's important also to have hobbies that are healthy. And one thing that Lisa Lucas does on the side is she's one of two Brewer Babes. They have a podcast about the Milwaukee Brewers. Do you want to just mention what you're doing there, Lisa?
Yeah, it's just a fun little podcast that me and a friend have been doing for a couple of years now. We're called the Brewers Babes. We talk about what's going on with the team. We try to give updates to folks. We try to bring a different fan perspective because there's a lot of Brewers podcasts out there that are very, very good and are also, you know, focused on stats and focused on metrics, and we can talk about those things, but we really like to highlight the humanity of the players and talk about their lives and what they're bringing to the team and how they interact as a group and the fun that they have that we see them have. And then we also throw in a couple of conspiracy theories every once in a while about umps and front offices and the MLB networks.
And how can people find more about Brewer Babes?
Brewersbabes.com is our website, and you can also find us anywhere you get podcasts. So we're on Spotify, we're on Apple, just search Brewers Babes, it'll come up. We're also on Blue Sky at Brewers Babes.
There you go.
And I'll link that
Lisa
into the
Lucas
show notes.
Of Brewers Babes and All In Wisconsin.
Here, I have the hat here for people who are watching.
I want one of those. Yeah. Thanks so much for being a guest on the Dom Salvia Show, and we'll be right back.
Thanks, Matt.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.